You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We're popping. Doesn't sound right. No, I'm not the guy to say that.
No, you're not. It's good on you to have that kind of awareness, though.
Yeah, I noticed it immediately.
That is a step in the right direction.
You think
there's progress being made.
You think your former teammate is popping in Vegas, Antonio
Pierce?
Why
would you frame it that way? Why would you do that? I love what AP is doing out there, though. He is trying to set a tone, ain't he?
So it's popping?
This all season, he is setting a tone.
Popping or not popping?
Well, yeah, I can't take you seriously when you do this kind of thing.
Popping or not popping? Like popcorn?
Are they talking about popping Patrick Mahomes? He got Patrick Mahomes on the brain, don't he?
Well,
all he's talking about this offseason is Patrick Mahomes.
So he also was talking about the quarterback position to Vic Tafura of The Athletic. And this is an interesting quote that your former teammate Antonio Pierce had about the QB position and just in general. I just want a leader, Pierce said. I want a guy that can lead, that wants to compete. I want a guy that's not afraid of a challenge because this is a big challenge that we have in front of us. We've got the world champs in our division again. You know what you have to deal with each and every year as long as you have Patrick Mahomes in our division. I would hope whoever we draft, that's the route we go. That's who the starter becomes, Pierce said. You don't want to put a Band-Aid at that position. That's old. That's old, man. I think the Raiders, we've seen enough. We've seen that enough in this organization. Okay, the Band-Aid term is very interesting. Of the quarterbacks that are available right now, we know none of the drafted quarterbacks theoretically would be Band-Aids. I want to go through some of these guys. And first off, explain what a Band-Aid means the way AP is saying it. That a Band-Aid is just what? Covering up the wound that doesn't make it go away, basically?
The Band-Aid is the retread, right? Everybody knows what a retread is. Jimmy Garoppolo, retread. I mean, Russell Wilson at this stage.
Is Russell Wilson a Band-Aid?
Band-Aid, retread.
Is Justin Fields a Band-Aid?
That's an interesting one. We'll have to come back to that. We'll circle back with that one.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew would be a Band-Aid.
Is
right?
Kirk Cousins a Band-Aid?
I mean, Kirk Cousins has a Band-Aid on right now because he has the Achilles injury. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would consider Kirk a Band-Aid, but based on where he's at in his career and where the Raiders are at with their program building, I would say yes.
Kirk Cousins is a Band-Aid.
Yes.
So then there is not a quarterback available that is not a Band-Aid outside of the draft.
Well, that's why he's talking about
the draft. So then they're drafting a quarterback.
But that's why he's talking about the draft. He's tipping his hand to some degree. He's saying if we draft a guy and then he tries to walk it back and say if we go that route. He wants somebody that he thinks can develop into a player that can put his team in position to compete against the Kansas City Chiefs and win those games.
So the Raiders have the 13th pick in the draft. Do you believe that there is a quarterback at 13 that is better than a Band-Aid?
Well, I mean, you don't know what these kids are going to become. You don't know what these quarterbacks are going to develop into. I mean, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick. I mean, there are guys that are success stories around the league that weren't top picks. I mean, Lamar Jackson was the last pick in the first round, and he's won two MVPs in his age 26 season. So, I mean, you can find good quarterbacks everywhere, and this is supposed to be a really, really deep quarterback draft. So, I'm not gonna disparage any of the guys that are going to go outside of the top three quarterbacks in this class. I mean, you don't know what J.J. McCarthy can be. Bo Nix or Michael Penix or any of these guys, we don't know what they're going to develop into, but it's clear that the Raiders have their eyes toward the draft because they're looking up in the standings at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they know they got to get through them in order to get to where they want to go. I will say this.
Yeah.
I am all about the approach that AP has had this offseason. He is trying to set a tone with the Raiders, and that's exactly what he should be doing now that they've dropped the interim tag for him. He talked about knocking the hell out of Patrick Mahomes. We're going to make him feel it every time we play him. And now he's talking about Patrick Mahomes and having somebody that's not afraid, that's not going to back down, that's not going to wilt under the pressure when he's on the opposite sideline. They are looking at this the right way. We have to build our team to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. When I played for the Baltimore Ravens, Ozzie Newsome, Hall of Fame tight end, should be a Hall of Fame general manager. He told me when I signed with the Baltimore Ravens, I built my team every single year to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. If I'm bringing you in, that means I believe you can help me beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. It sounds like that's what AP is doing with the Las Vegas Raiders. He's bringing guys in, and he's keeping guys that he feels like can help him beat the Kansas City Chiefs every year.
All right, let's go back to the guy you said you wanted to circle back to, and that is obviously Justin Fields. Band-Aid or not a Band-Aid?
See, Justin Fields is interesting. Again, this confluence of events that has led to him potentially being on the move, right? He was a first-round pick in 2021, and the organization has had back-to-back number one overall picks, one via trade, one because they were really bad because Justin Fields was hurt. They're going to trade him because you can't justify the opportunity cost of passing on this year's class of quarterbacks. I don't think it's a situation where you look at them moving him because you don't think Justin Fields is going to be good. You just think these other quarterbacks are going to be better. So that's why I would give the benefit of the doubt to Justin in not being a Band-Aid, because he's got so much talent and because there's such a long runway. We're talking about a guy that's in his early 20s. Like, he has to have an opportunity to develop. And if you get him with a franchise that has some stability, and there's no reason to think that there wouldn't be, because now you got a general manager and a head coach on the same timeline out there in Las Vegas, I think you have the potential to bring out the best in what Justin Fields has to offer. And you know what? Having Devontae Adams as your number one receiver doesn't hurt anything.
So two counters to that to throw out there. One, he's technically only under contract for the next 2 years. Band-Aid would be a short-term fix, right? Band-Aid is not the long haul. If you're saying Kirk Cousins is not necessarily on the same exact timeline as the Raiders in terms of his years coming off an injury, et cetera, you've also made the point, which I agree with you, it's tough right now to say, oh, yeah, let's give Justin Fields a long-term deal. Technically, he's on a two-year deal, plus the offensive coordinator he had in Chicago, Luke Getsy, is now in Vegas with Antonio Pierce. I just don't see Justin Fields with the Raiders as a logical pick. I think that based on what Antonio...
He's 24 years old.
I know. I see him in Atlanta. I see him in Pittsburgh, way more logical to me than the Raiders. The thing that Antonio Pierce is saying, and even Q Myers, who's going to join us in a little bit, is very tied into the Raiders, is that they're looking to trade up. I think the Raiders are now... I am very much focused on them. You just said moments ago, I expect there to be quarterbacks 1, 2, and 3 in the draft, but I do not expect the draft order by the time draft night rolls around to be the Bears, the Commanders, and the Patriots.
Well, here's
I think
the
Raiders are in the mix on
well,
that.
Well, here's the thing. Now, we know Antonio Pierce coached Jaden Daniels in high school and college, so if Caleb Williams does go 1, if the Bears go chalk, could you see a scenario when the Raiders offer up 3 first-round draft picks to get to number 2 with the Commanders? Could you see that? It would be hard because here's the thing. The owner of the Commanders, Josh Harris, being in all those meetings at the combine with those prospects, like, owners don't sit in on those meetings at the combine with those quarterback prospects. They just don't. So for him to be there says something in terms of them seeing value in the quarterbacks. But if the offer is that compelling, if they're going to offer you 3 first-round draft picks to move from, what'd you say, 13 to 2, could you see a world where that happens? I could see a world where Antonio Pierce tries to convince the front office for the Raiders to do it. I just don't know that the Commanders would be the dance partner that would be willing to take that risk.
I think it's New England. In that scenario, I think if Drake May goes 2 to Washington, that's where the New England move comes in. We've been talking about New England potentially holding the cards to the draft as to could they actually trade out of that.
If Drake May goes number 2 to Washington.
Drake May goes 2 to Washington.
And that would actually make sense because Kingsbury has an air raid system. That's kind of the system that Drake May played in at Carolina. So that would make some sense from a schematic standpoint.
Okay. And then 3, you're looking at the New England Patriots. They trade from 3 to 13, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was that the exact trade that the Dolphins made with the – no, the Niners didn't have 13 at that point. Somebody
had
13.
12. I think they had 12.
So it's somewhere around there with the Dolphins-Niners trade years ago with the Trey Lance move. So then the 3 first-rounders from 13 to 3. New England still theoretically, if J.J. McCarthy's available, could draft J.J. McCarthy in that spot. They don't have to play him right away. Again, theoretically. And then the Raiders get the guy that they want in Jaden Daniels, we're assuming, because of the relationship with Antonio Pierce. And then it's really Antonio Pierce's team in every which way.
No doubt.
Culture, spoken word out there to everybody, and the quarterback he's known since he was a kid, since Daniels was a kid. That scenario makes a lot of sense. In that scenario, it makes a lot of sense because New England would be stockpiled with two first-rounders going into the next two drafts after this year. What I can't see is them trading with two because I can't see Washington passing on one of these quarterbacks. That's where I think the hurdle is.
Yeah.
Because the first scenario you brought up was going from 2 to 13. You think Washington would pass on a quarterback here in this draft?
I don't think they would.
So then it has to be 3.
Yeah.
It has to be 3. And it has to be where May goes 2. I think we just came up with actually the most logical NFL draft if you're going to have trades, is what we just did. Chicago 1, Caleb Williams. Washington 2, Drake May. The Raiders 3, Jaden Daniels. New England goes to 13.
And that's actually how I would power rank this class of quarterbacks too. Caleb Williams 1, Drake May 2, Jaden Daniels 3.
I want to go back to one other thing you said, because average everyday fans like myself, and obviously, you know, we have a platform here to talk about this, don't know who's in these interviews at the combine, right? Because teams don't publicize, like, oh, this guy, gal was in there. But you just made a point. Josh Harris, brand new owner of the Washington Commanders, Adam Schefter reported this morning, he's in the interviews. I take it as, if I'm going to pay you as an employer $50 million, I want to know who I'm paying $50 million.
Yeah, but I can get to know you when you come to my building on a pre-draft visit. I don't have to go to the combine.
So do you think this sends a bad message or a
good
message?
No, I don't think it sends a bad message. I think it sends a message that the owner is excited about the prospects because they know that they're going to get their franchise quarterback. Like, this will be one of the defining moves when it comes to the legacy of Josh Harris as the owner of the Washington Commanders. And in order to turn the page from Dan Snyder, like, getting this figured out, getting the quarterback position solidified will be something that they haven't seen in a long time in Washington. Think about how many failed attempts that they've had on figuring out the quarterback position, whether it was trading for Jason Campbell in the draft pick, RG3, the flash of brilliance, but it gets derailed because of injury, the Alex Smith trade, and then how he had that horrific injury there. Like, they've tried a lot of different ways to solidify the quarterback position, and none of them have seemingly worked out. Like, this would be huge. This is going to be huge for Josh Harris in terms of defining what type of owner he's going to be.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio.
No, Jonathan Zaslow, you are not wrong about that. They are not run very well. We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Understatement of the year.
Yeah. So before we get into that conversation, I don't know if you're aware, but something happened here.
What happened?
So, you know, we've been talking a lot recently about hibachi. Okay, hibachi's become a huge theme on our show. How did it happen? We were talking about just different values you get at restaurants. I brought up the idea of, well, hibachi is the best value you get anywhere at restaurants. You and Small, since she was back with us on Monday, both then said, absolutely love it, love going to hibachi. We were all in on it, right? Pat, Jovante, and Nuno all out, destroyed hibachi. It's become a big theme. Yesterday, we do our hibachi draft, basically, with ESPN personalities. I'm walking in the halls yesterday. Greeny says, come in here. We're going to destroy you. I go into Greeny's show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time, because we didn't pick Greeny to be on our ESPN personality list for hibachi.
Yes. Right?
That was originally going to be the theme. The theme then became Hembo didn't know what hibachi was.
What?
Had never been to hibachi.
Okay.
Yesterday, he actually then went with his wife to hibachi.
Hembo is like 33, 34 years old, something like that?
He's not a human. He's a computer.
How do you not have hibachi and you've been on this planet over 3 decades?
Again, not a human. I don't believe he's actually a human. I think he's a computer, basically, is what that man is. Okay. He had never been to hibachi. He goes to hibachi yesterday and he put out on his Instagram at Paul Hembo, so dramatic. The guy, he just doesn't
get... So dramatic?
Like, because the chef is making... It's a show. Yeah, it's a combo package. Yeah,
exactly. So it's not just... It's not just dinner.
No.
It's entertainment. It's dinner and a show.
And that's too much for
him. And the show is him making dinner.
Yeah. So now, before we get into this Jets drama, we have to get into the Hembo Hibachi drama. Let me bring in Bristol on this in Vegas East with Nuno, Pat, and Javante. You guys openly do not like Hembo. Now that Hembo is on your side here, do you want to come? Do you guys want to now come to our side of things?
No, I agree with Hembo.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty reasonable thought to me.
So dramatic.
So Hembo's a reasonable thought? Come on, Javante.
So, I mean, it's a one-time thing. Never like, turned yeah, down a first time meal. Is cool, but like after that, it's like, all right, yeah, just want my food.
Yeah, but he's never been, though. It was his first time.
And it's dramatic.
You know how there's people
yeah,
that
see
you
how
don't...
Like say that.
You know there's people you don't take anything they say outside of like the sports or whatever, seriously. Yeah. Like Hembo's one of those guys, right?
Okay.
Like I love Hembo to death, contrary to popular belief. You know, I've worked with him, got to know him, really enjoy him. His wife, Lizzie, who also works at ESPN, is a magnificent person. She's a saint. But when it comes to food, culture, music, that type of thing, Hembo didn't know who the Beatles were, like until recently.
Wow.
So, like, I'm not taking anything Hembo says serious.
That's fair.
It's kind of like Mecole Hardman, right? Like, it's the messenger versus the message.
Ah, look what he did. It's
not wow, the, no, radio it's, transition
it's
guy.
Not, it's not the same thing, but
yeah.
Go ahead.
But I just will point out one other thing about What's Hembo up? That Nuno is, I will give him this. Do you know that he does the show with an art history book as where he rests his laptop? So there's an enormous art history book, which if you want to read an art history book, go for it. No issue with that.
Yeah.
But he rests his laptop during a sports show on an art history book.
Why? What's the rationale behind that? Did you ask him?
To make the laptop higher up and even with his chair.
Okay.
Oh, so he's not actually like reading it. He's
oh,
just...
no, he has. He's not
during the show?
He's not a
right?
Yeah, he's not a person. This guy is actually not a human. He's just a walking computer.
Like a pop culture history book or something?
No, he wouldn't know.
Because he doesn't know who Morgan Freeman is, and that's worse than you not knowing Rick James.
Oh, stop it, Pat. All right, anyway, Mecole Hardman, wide receiver.
That is actually worse.
That's not,
that is actually
yes,
worse.
But that's not what happened here. Okay. Mecole Hardman was a wide receiver on the Chiefs, won a title, then went in free agency to the Jets, joined the Jets, didn't have fun there, got traded back to the Chiefs, and caught the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Mecole Hardman was on the Pivot podcast and looked back at his wonderful time with the New York Jets.
You just got a new coach staff that came in. It's no standard there. It's like everybody do what they want to do. And defense have a more of a stabilized standard with that, with the coaching staff on that side. So you could tell the defense got a standard, but the offense is just like, all right, we'll just figure it out. It's Aaron's show. Let Aaron do what Aaron do, you know what I mean? But then when Aaron go down, it's like, we don't know what to do. Y'all can't tell me about winning. I know what winning looks like.
Right.
I know what winning is. So y'all keep telling me certain things. It's like, I'm not going for that because y'all not doing it right. Like, we got hammers on the ground. We don't got no discipline. People feel like it's too many individual egos in this locker room or whatever. And I'm telling them, I'm like, that's not going to get y'all to win. It's not going to happen.
No lies detected from Mecole Hardman. No lies detected. Like, he was a part of a championship culture, won a championship with the Chiefs, signed up to play with Aaron Rodgers in the New York Jets, a 1-year, $4 million deal. Rodgers gets hurt, what, 3-4 plays into the season? And then everything goes to hell because the Jets don't have any direction. They don't have any guidance, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And think about it from his perspective. You mean to tell me that now instead of catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, I got to catch passes from Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian? How you think he's going to feel? Like, you know he's going to check out because he realizes his team has no shot at being able to accomplish the goal that he thought they could when he signed in free agency, which is get to the Super Bowl.
There is something as a sports fan. Like, he still has to do his job. He still has to be professional. He can't allegedly tip his game plans to other people, which people are reporting, and Sauce Gardner was the one who put it out there.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to be a professional, right? There is something that I think is actually wonderful about a player being insanely uncomfortable and not enjoying chaos and the circus environment. Saying, like, I just came from a place where I was kind of just a guy.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know how to do it. I'm okay not being a superstar, not being the highest paid guy. Like, I am really uncomfortable with the way in which your organization operates because it's a mess. I actually love that.
I do, too.
Not his behavior, necessarily.
Well, we could say we don't like his behavior, but I can understand the logic behind it, especially seeing how it played out.
Let me
be a bad apple. They'll cut me. And then I'll go back to the team that I just came from. And, oh, by the way, be an integral part of them winning yet another championship.
So, yes. Let me ask you a question, though. You only played for good teams.
Yeah.
You played for
only
the Cowboys.
Good teams, good coaches.
You played for Parcells. You played for Coughlin with the Giants, won a Super Bowl. And you played for John Harbaugh with the Ravens.
That's not an accident, by the way.
Well, it's the biggest compliment to you ever.
And also, there was once upon a time an opportunity where I flirted with the Kansas City Chiefs in free agency. I went out there, took a visit with the Chiefs. Andy Reid was out there. Alex Smith was out there. Like, I thought
Packers
about
Packers you flirted with when they were winning too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But again, there were only certain organizations I was interested in playing for.
So you were professionally turned off by the chaos, the nonsense, and the lack of a winning culture. Like, you wouldn't even look at those teams if they offered you more money?
Well, sure, you think about it, but if the money is close, all things being equal, give me the team, give me the coach that has a championship culture. Listen, man.
Like, would you have even taken a call for the Jets?
Let me break it down this way.
Yeah.
Nothing excites me more than cash than if you're talking about fresh cash. And the way to get paid in the NFL, individual performance, obviously, but team success. A high tide raises all boats. So if I'm going to a situation where our team is consistently winning, there will be no shortage of teams that are willing to throw me money. And if there are multiple teams that are going to be willing to pay me, then all of a sudden I can leverage the good teams that I want to be a part of to get the kind of payday that I'm looking for. That's how I signed with the New York Giants in 2009 as a free agent and became the highest paid defensive lineman on that team that already had O.C. Uwemunyoro, Justin Tuck, and Mathias Kiwanuka. That's how you do it. So, like, that was my whole thing. I only wanted to pay for stable franchises that gave me a chance to have success at the highest level because I knew that would give me longevity, but that would also give me an opportunity to get paid.
So you sitting here, and while everybody's understandably making a big deal, Mecole Hardman is talking junk about the Jets,
yeah,
and that, you know, he spoke to Brent Veach, the general manager of the Chiefs, while employed by the Jets, according to him, which means that they better file a tampering charge, and that he may have given a playbook to other people. All of those are big topics. We're not ignoring those. The takeaway from you that I'm fascinated by here is professionally you can relate to someone kind of going crazy by being so turned off by a losing culture that it could throw you off that much that you actually can relate to Mecole Hardman. You never experienced it, but the hypothetical of if I had to be placed in a losing culture, I'd lose my mind. That's understandable for you.
Here's the thing. The closest I've ever come to that kind of dysfunction was at the end when I was in Dallas, where they hired Jason Garrett as their offensive coordinator before they hired Wade Phillips as the head coach. And there was this push and pull dynamic within the team where players didn't know who the last say was, who was the ultimate authoritarian figure.
And you're out on that.
And I'm out on that.
You knew at that point.
When it went from Bill Parcells to that, that is a stark contrast. You know what I mean? And so I was like, no, I'm out on that. Came to New York, Tom Coughlin, he was the guy, period, point blank.
It felt like playing for Parcells again.
Exactly.
And then
I went
for
from
Harbaugh.
Tom Coughlin to John Harbaugh, same exact thing.
And you only looked, so the flirting was with Kansas City and Andy Reid, the Packers when Rodgers was there and they were kicking butt.
Yeah.
And anybody else over the course of time that you remember?
That's it.
So three NFL teams and your two flirtations were with championship cultures.
There you go.
We're Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You know, every Wednesday on our show, we do an ESPN personality draft.
Yeah.
And our buddy Q Myers, who hosts Game Night, Emmett Golden, Q Myers, 10 p.m. Eastern time here on ESPN Radio, was really annoyed with us that he has not been part of our draft at all yet, right?
Oh, he's going to be a part of our next draft, right?
Well, yes.
This is the person that you would want with you if you came across a bear in the wild.
And that you said specifically you would serve to the bear.
Yeah, exactly.
So Q Myers is our man about town in Indy at the Combine. This is not a joke, Q. This literally came up during the course of the show today, but this is going to be our next draft. So rest in peace.
Man, I'm trying to tell you, be careful what you wish for, right? I want to be part of the company. I want to be part of everything. And now all of a sudden I'm being fed to the bears, man. Yeah. I can't win.
Absolutely. Can't win. T's and P's to your family, bro. T's and P's.
That's not a joke. Literally, you have volunteered to be fed to a bear. So, hey, look, congratulations.
I'll tell you this, man. You better have some wheels, though, because I'm not a whole lot of a person, right? I'm not the biggest dude in the world, so that meal might end pretty quickly, and they might look for some leftovers. So you better get on your horse. I'm just saying.
All right. I hear you.
All right, so you and your football team kind of put something in our head. You said yesterday to us, as you're at the Combine here, that you could see the Raiders maybe trading up. Antonio Pierce, head coach of the Raiders, said, "We're not looking for a Band-Aid at quarterback." So, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen here on Unsportsmanlike. Small's back with us next week. We came up with a trade. We want to know if you think that both teams would make it.
Okay.
The Raiders move up from 13-3. They get New England's pick. We're assuming that Jaden Daniels specifically is on the board. And the Raiders give up their 25 and 26 first-rounder to New England to get the third pick in the draft. Who says no, Q?
Oh, I'm running up to the podium. If I'm the Raiders, I'm running up to the podium, and I think Antonio Pierce is right in front of me. I think he's running a little bit faster. He's trying to go get that ball carrier. If that's the case, yeah, I think that's a heck of a deal because you got your guy. And as Antonio Pierce told us yesterday, there's been too long that the franchise has had the Band-Aids. I mean, they had Derek Carr, obviously, for the 9 years, and he was good, but he was a good quarterback. He wasn't the guy that they looked at as, oh, he's elite. And I don't know if Jaden Daniels is going to be elite. Obviously, we won't know until he gets into the league, but he looks like he could be that guy. And Antonio Pierce is very familiar with him. From the time at ASU, he recruited him. He told him he was going to be a Heisman Trophy winner. He was. So I think that's their guy. If they could find a way to get him for that deal that you just mentioned, yeah, I think they'd do it every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Q, yesterday our very own Dan Orlovsky on Get Up made the statement that if he had the number one overall pick, if he was GM Ryan Poles of the Bears, he would take Jaden Daniels, not Caleb Williams, first overall. Now, I know Mel Kiper had Jaden Daniels second in his first mock draft that he dropped yesterday, but since you're on the ground at the Combine, are you hearing any buzz about Jaden Daniels potentially being the top pick in this year's draft class?
I'm hearing the buzz, but I just don't believe that it's going to happen, right? I just think that at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, it's still going to be Caleb Williams. But that's the thing, Canty, that I've been talking about the whole week here, is that I feel like Jaden really has an opportunity to prove who he is here at the Combine. And maybe coming out of it, maybe next week, the conversation we'll be having, is he number one or isn't he number one? But at the end of the day, I think when the Bears turn in their card, that it's going to end up being Caleb Williams.
We are on Sportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Smalls back with us on Monday. Q Myers, Game Night, 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, joining us from Indy at the Combine. The latest on Drake May, Q, he was potentially going to throw, then didn't throw, or is not going to throw now. We're of the assumption that he either goes two or three, doesn't have a shot at one. Caleb, obviously, and Jaden Daniels, we think, have a shot at one. Where are you at now with Drake May? What are you hearing?
I'm not so high on Drake May, and really it's because of the last thing I saw. What I mean by that is the last season that he was there at North Carolina kind of took a step back from his stellar year that he had in 2022. I'm just not 100% sold that he's that guy. I think that he is a good guy, but I don't know if he's that guy. So I think that it's still kind of up in the air. He's going to be speaking at the podium on Friday, so I look forward to hearing to what he has to say. But I clearly believe that he's going to be probably now the third quarterback. And, you know, I had someone tell me today, they walked by me and said, hey, if the Raiders want to get Jaden Daniels, they may have to move up to number two because it feels like it's Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. You pick the order.
Q, it's being reported that the New York Jets have met with Drake May and Jaden Daniels, expected to meet with Caleb Williams too. Is this anything beyond due diligence, or are you hearing anything about the Jets potentially being one of the teams that would be looking to move up to get one of those top three quarterbacks?
I'm not hearing anything like that, that they are willing to move up there and go make a move for one of those quarterbacks, but I think it would be a smart decision, right? We know that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there forever. I just don't know if they make that move, if he gets offended or not, right? I don't know if that's good for business.
Yes, you do. You know the answer to that. Of course he gets offended. Well, come on now.
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact. But, you know, the problem is, I mean, smart business would tell you to go ahead and make that move, but again, the problem is that he's in control of that franchise as opposed to Joe Douglas, who's the GM. So I think that that's not going to happen, but they're definitely going to do their due diligence, as they should.
Q, let's go back to something you just said about the second pick versus the third pick relative to the Raiders or anybody else trading up here. So if Jaden Daniels, you believe, is going to go two, and if the Raiders are dead set on trying to get him, we are of the belief, CC and I, that Washington would trade up but not down unless it's to three. I mean, now you're talking three-way deal with New England here.
Right.
So, like, you're saying that our hypothetical to get three is nice and all, but you think in order to get Jaden Daniels, you got to get two?
It might not be enough, right? Getting up to number three, and that's what we've been talking about quite a bit, you know, is that, yeah, get up to number three, trade with New England, and go get Jaden Daniels, but it feels like there's so much momentum for him to be now a top two pick that it might not be good enough, right? And if you get up to number three and then you don't get your guy, I hope that you're in love with a couple, right? I mean, because then you've done all this work, you've given up this draft capital, and then you still don't get your guy, then you end up with egg on your face. So, yeah, I think that there might be a shot where they just have to try to do everything they can to get up to number two. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to get there, but I think that they have to at least try, because if they want to get their guy, and like AP said, he doesn't want a Band-Aid, they've got to go and do everything that they can, exhaust all measures.
Q, the big boys are hitting the field today for their combine workouts. Curious from your perspective, what lineman is everybody looking forward to seeing perform today?
I think it's got to be Byron Murphy, right? I think it's got to be. I mean, that guy, he's not Aaron Donald, but, man, he's got some Aaron Donald type traits. Mm. And he's the guy that, as we talked to him yesterday when he was at the podium, man, you could just hear the energy and the excitement in his voice and what he could bring to the table. And you start thinking about getting that interior push. And, you know, you know how important that interior push is. It makes those guys on the outside that much better. And he's a guy that also not only just can plug the hole, but he can also get to the quarterback. I mean, man, that's a dude right there. And it's funny, T'Vondre Sweat, I need to continue to pay attention to him. We stood around for about 45 minutes waiting to talk to him yesterday, and he didn't come out. He eventually did come out, but I was already gone. He said he's going to blaze the fastest 40 among the big men, and he is a big, big man. I don't quite know how big he is because I haven't seen his weight yet, but I know it's up there. So he says he's going to blaze a fast 40, so that's something to pay attention to.
He's 350-ish.
Yeah, on a light day. Yeah. Before. Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Exactly.
Q, Nuno has said, our producer, that you're a man about town. Working, doing radio shows doesn't necessarily make you the man about town. Are you going to be about town at any point today?
Yes, tonight I'm going to make it happen. Doing game night and getting off at 1 a.m. has turned me into a responsible adult somewhat. But since we have an NBA game tonight on ESPN Radio, I will be out and about, and I'll make it happen. And, want to talk about man about the town, I'm going to be all over the town this evening.
Are you going to get the shrimp? Everybody talks about
shrimp,
the shrimp
cocktail.
Anyway.
Yeah. Shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, because I know what to expect now. Last year when they hit me with the shrimp cocktail, I didn't know. You could tell when you're a new guy at the combine and you don't really know what to expect. They handed it to me and I just ate it real quick, and all of a sudden that horseradish just, I mean, my eyes started watering, my sinuses started going crazy. I didn't know what was going on. Felt like I had fizz blowing up in my mouth. It was all bad.
All right, but yeah, we should explain this. So there's a restaurant in Indy that everyone frequents at the Combine. It's like the go-to restaurant right downtown. And the shrimp, the cocktail sauce for the shrimp cocktail is insanely spicy, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. And they were walking around literally here inside the convention center handing out samples and saying, hey, do you want one? And I was just like, yeah, it was early in the morning. I had been around town the night before, so I thought it'd be smart to put a little extra shrimp in my belly. And then I didn't realize that there was a camera crew. I should have known that that meant something, that there's a camera crew. Why are they filming me eating this? And, yeah, I knew after I, well, started to lose my mind exactly why they were filming me.
Wow. Free shrimp cocktail samples at the Combine.
Wow.
I know where I want to go next year at this time. Just saying.
Let me tell you what they didn't do when I was at the Combine.
They didn't give you that?
Nah.
I don't know if they're giving the players that. They're giving media that.
They have all that.
Q, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. Best of luck with the bear when CC feeds you to that bear next week.
Hey, I got to have friends like you guys, right?
Thank you, Q. All right, coming up, we will have Canty's best bet, an unsportsmanlike moment of the day, or moments of the day. But first, CC has this. From Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, like Q Myers and Indy tonight, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. We're chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
So we hit on our parlay last night.
If what was it last night?
Last night, okay. So
I know you believe in the Orlando Magic. That's a big theme now.
So that was two nights ago.
Right.
Last night, we had the Indiana Pacers over the Pelicans. Pacers were laying 2.5 points, and we had under on 243.5 points, and we hit on both of those, and that parlay paid out at plus 138. So tonight, we're going to do that hockey, Evan.
Okay.
We're going to do that hockey, and if we get a win, that would be three in a row. Ooh. That would be a win streak. A win streak. We're in danger of having a win streak. Oh, my goodness. Play it tonight. All right. Here's what we got. We're doing that hockey. We got the Coyotes on the road against the Leafs. I'm going to roll with the Leafs on the money line because the Coyotes, well, they're god-awful on the road. They're 8-16-5 on the road this season, and they're 8-15-5 in games where their opponents have fewer penalty minutes, and that would be the Toronto Maple Leafs in this matchup. Auston Matthews has been on a heater, 18 points over his last 10 games. So give me the Leafs on the money line, and we're going to parlay that with under 6.5 total goals. So the Leafs on the money line and under 6.5 goals, and that pays out at plus 172.
Win some money. Win streak.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
All right, we're going to give you the most unsportsmanlike moments of the day. There's one that is so above everyone else. I do want to mention one thing. When CeCe brought up the Pacers, we do want to wish collectively as a show a happy 6th birthday to Tyrese Halliburton.
Hey!
He's 6 today. Now, he's on the Indiana Pacers, and you're saying, how is he 6? Well, he was born on leap year, or leap day, February 29th.
Which is crazy.
So he's 6. Thanks to ESPN Stats and Info, which literally had that note for us today. Tyrese Halliburton, 6 years old. Anyway, that is not the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
Not at all.
So, CeCe, have you heard of this guy named Chiefsaholic?
Yes, I have.
He was a guy that was, he goes to every Chiefs game. He's an obsessive Kansas City Chiefs fan, right?
He dresses up like a wolf or something, right? Was it?
Yeah. He 3 counts of armed bank robbery, 1 count of bank theft, 11 counts of money laundering, 4 counts of transporting stolen property across state lines. Nuno, Pat, Javonte, did I miss anything here with Chiefsaholic on the setup before I get to what's next? Anything else about this guy?
He was on the run for a while, right?
Oh, yeah. He was on the run for a while. My bad. Yeah, he was on the run for a while.
And he got away with, what, over $500,000?
Well, he's not getting away with it.
Yeah, got away is kind of a loose term.
Yeah, he didn't get away anymore. I will tell you that much.
He's not getting away anymore, yeah.
Yeah. So his lawyer met with the media yesterday, and this is a real-life lawyer meeting with the media talking about Chiefsaholic.
From the beginning of this case, folks, the government has been blitzing, and Xavier's pocket was collapsing. But today, Xavier stepped into the pressure. He took responsibility for his actions. He stood up in court, humble and repentant, and admitted what he had done. Now, if I know anything about Xavier, and if the Chiefs Kingdom knows anything about Chiefsaholic, we know that he doesn't give up. We know that if he stumbled and he fell, he didn't let his knee touch the ground.
Oh my God.
And that's because he's capable of doing a great thing. And he knows that there's still hope. We still have a lot of work to do on his case, but Xavier wants everyone to know that he loves the Chiefs Kingdom, he loves Kansas City, and he hopes that you'll rally to his support. Thank you, and God bless.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's start here. How many years in jail is this guy facing?
Up to 50 years.
He's facing 50 years in jail?
He robbed banks!
And he tells his lawyer to read that statement? That's the statement that he tells his lawyer to read? Like, he is not taking this seriously.
You think?
Like, no.
I mean, wait, you're taking that as Chiefsaholic wrote that statement?
Oh, he had to. There's no...
If the lawyer wrote that, he should be debarred.
Yeah, exactly. If the lawyer wrote... If the lawyer did that on his own, like, if that was the lawyer taking liberties...
He should be sacked, you're saying?
Wow.
Here we go. Here we go. Drum roll for Pat.
He should be moved to the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly.
He should not practice they squad. Need
to
put,
no, the lawyer should serve time with Chiefsaholic if the lawyer decided to do that on his own.
And that video, courtesy of Fox 4 and KC, PJ Green, a digital sports reporter, put that out there.
50 years in jail.
But he's doing bits. He's literally outside of a courthouse doing bits.
I mean, if you're the judge at the sentencing, you've got to give him the maximum, right?
Which guy? The lawyer or the Chiefsaholic?
Yes, would be the answer. Like, you
seriously.
You have to drop the hammer on this guy.
Unbelievable.
That is crazy.
It's pretty disappointing.
Chiefs tickets cost so much. The guy had to rob banks to
get Chiefs tickets. The thing was, he was betting all this money on the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
So he's had some wins, yeah. So he was using money to gamble.
Well, I hope he wasn't listening to my best bets.
Betting on hockey
He was listening to my best
Maple
bets.
Leafs now.
I was losing so much money, the poor guy had to start robbing
there
banks.
There was some icing for Xavier.
It's really disappointing that he didn't say unsportsmanlike anywhere in there, to be honest.
Yeah, right? Could have been great for us. Good point,
man.
Pat. Well done. All right, next unsportsmanlike moment. So Christopher Mad Dog Russo goes on First Take every Wednesday with Stephen A. Smith and Molly Karam. And Doggy, as we know privately here, because he told us off the air, was going to Florida this past weekend. Stayed at the Great Breakers Hotel, one of the greatest places on earth. Dog normally likes to brag about him flying private.
Okay.
Didn't fly private this time and told everybody about it on First Take.
Hmm.
So we get onto a taxiing scenario on a Delta 737. You can look it up. Last Sunday at 12:40, leaving PBI Airport to Kennedy. and the pilot taxis off, and this is 30 minutes now. We're a little late. He says, I got to abort the taxiing. What? I'm back in the plane. I want to get the plane is jammed. Yeah, somebody is in the bathroom. It's against the rules to go through a runway scenario when somebody's in the bathroom. Now, hold on now. We sat at the gate for hours. Go use the facilities. So somebody's in the bathroom. He aborts the taxiing. He stands on the side of the runway. We lose our slot. You know, the slotting when you take off. Okay, you just can't, all right, take a 10-minute break and then take off. It's a slot! You have to call Delta. You got to call Kennedy. You got to call the tower of PBI. We were hours late because somebody had to take a pee in the middle of my flight home from West Palm Beach. Now,
now here's the thing. So Nuno, our producer, sent us this video saying that Dog was so wrong about to do this and yet agreed with everything Dog said. So you need to explain yourself.
I said the person who did this is wrong, and depending on who they are, they deserve a beating.
Dog's wrong.
Yeah.
I would say just ban them from the flight for a year or something like that.
Well, they tell you not to get up at certain times.
Yeah, so why would the flight attendant allow the person to get out of their seat?
That's interesting. So you're putting this on the people that are actually the flight attendants and the pilots that are operating the flight.
Yes.
Pat, you're saying Dog's wrong on this?
Yeah. I mean, you're coming back from the breakers and your flight was a little bit delayed. Like, sorry, man. You were at an amazing place. I don't feel that bad for you.
That's
and also,
true
if someone is getting up at that point to go to the bathroom, probably an emergency.
Here's the other part to that, too. You're flying from Palm Beach into Kennedy?
That's your knock.
That's a bad one.
Like you're
gotta
going
go
to
Westchester.
You're
that's
going
about
to Kennedy, though?
And he lives in Connecticut.
I mean, I think any airport, LaGuardia, Westchester, Newark, I mean, any of those airports over Kennedy.
I love the critiques we have of this.
No, I mean, real New Yorkers know. If you're flying domestic, there's no way you're flying into Kennedy. You're just not doing it.
Well, I still
if you have choices, and I'm assuming Dog has choices.
Yes.
There's no way I'm flying into Kennedy. I'm just not doing it. I'm just not. If it can be avoided at all costs, I'm not flying into Kennedy. Like if I'm flying out of Kennedy, that means I'm going somewhere international and I'm going on vacation.
Well, we are 3 months removed from Smalls and Nuno and Rob flying into West Palm, having connecting flights, and CeCe and I still don't understand it to this
day.
Nobody's ever had a connecting, and Nuno didn't have a connecting flight to Florida
to
from
South
New York.
Florida?
It's crazy.
Right?
Greeny up next. We are on to Friday. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.